Amen. We have been going through a series called Running on Empty. And this is the third sermon in the series. And you can download the other two from www.libertychurch.ie and go onto the podcast and do your thing if you know how to do that thing. You will be blessed, I am sure, with feedback from people that God is doing something in their midst. The reason why I spoke on this the first week was the whole premise of why we cannot run on empty. And the reason why we cannot run on empty is because if we run on empty, we will not fulfill the potential that God has put in every single one of us. You may say, Noel, I have potential to do something in God, for God, and through God. You may say, me, I'm saying yes, you. And not only am I saying you, but the Bible teaches you. The Bible teaches, you, that the body is made up of all different parts and it fulfills all different functions. And if some of the body is not working and fulfilling its function, the body is not reaching or going on its full potential. You can't stay empty if you want to fulfill your potential. I don't know about you, but do you ever get sick of running on empty? It's an awful place to be at. You can't die with your potential inside of you. You can't die with what God has put in on you. And so many of us are so caught up in all different types of things that the very purpose why we're on earth, the reason why we're here, is to do something for God. You cannot die with that inside of you. You cannot. The graveyard is full of people that have been potential leaders and government people and poets and musicians, people that are carers and doctors and people that are full footballers. And they're up in their graveyards because their potential was ripped off. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, whether it's on the room or on CD later on, don't you dare die with your potential inside of you. My grandkids need your potential. My children, my family, my community, your children, your family, your community needs the potential to be unlocked out of you. Don't you dare die with that inside of you. Last week, we talked about that we have to realize that Jesus wants to have us on full, that it's possible to live life on full. It's possible to live with full life, abundance of life, the fullness of the Spirit. And you can get last week's sermon because I don't want to take up this week's time on last week's. But just to bring you up to speed. We talked about if your life was a car, what type of things would bring the car down to empty? We talked about all different things last week and we knew who knew about cars. And we also found out who doesn't know about cars. And I'm one of the ones that don't know about cars. I have to read this stuff. All I know about cars is where the petrol goes, even though I have a diesel car. We talked about some things, and here's what will bring your car down, your fuel tank down to empty, is carrying extra weight, is carrying heavy loads, is carrying something that is not meant for that car to pull. Like if you put a big trailer full of stuff on the back of your car, and you drove with a full tank, and it was a heavy load, it wouldn't be long before your tank is going down to empty. I used to have a car called a Trajet, a Hyundai Trajet, and it was a nice car, and I liked it. It was a 7-seater, but I tell you, that yoke cost me a fortune to run. It was a petrol car, and I would just like, I would only fill her up, and I'd be like thinking I was back in the garage. And when I researched about it, what I found out was the body and the weight of the people in it, the engine wasn't big enough to carry that. And because of all the weight, the extra weight then, that's why I was on €70 a week in that stupid car. So I got rid of it. It was either get rid of that or rid of me children. I thought it was best to get rid of the car. But it went. You just didn't hear that. Someone said, are you sure? But I noticed that I was going to empty pretty quick. Now, if you are carrying extra baggage, extra weight, heavy loads, life's loads, then you will run on empty pretty quickly. And I'm so glad for the Bible. I'm so glad that this teaches us, Jesus himself teaches us how to not carry heavy loads. I'm so glad that Jesus identified loads that we carry. Naturally, we're prone to carry them because we're human. We're prone because we love people. We're prone because we care to carry, we care, and that's why we carry loads at times. And then there's some of us that just absorb loads that are not even ours. The people that don't even live in our city and we're carrying their loads. If you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and we look at some of the things that Jesus identified as heavy loads. And we want to shout any out to me. What's a heavy load we can carry? What? Yeah, what are heavy loads? Shout it out. Sin. That's a heavy load. Conscience, addiction. Worry, depression. Anger. Stress, unforgiveness. It's all over the place. The way we look at ourselves. The wrong view of ourselves. What about jobs? What about the recession? What about people losing their jobs? All types of loads that they're natural in lots of ways. And some of them are very unnatural. But listen to what Jesus says. He's identifying with all these people. He's speaking to the people, the ordinary people, not the Pharisees, not the religious people. Jesus spoke to the religious in a different manner. He spoke to them in a different tone. When you read the word, you see when Jesus was speaking to those who thought they knew it all, he soon showed them boys up. But when he spoke to the ordinary people, the real people, the people that felt the weights, the people that carried weights, he looked at them with such compassion. There's times when he says, you know what, guys? I see as and I weep over you. I see as like a sheep without a shepherd. And I long just to gather you up and hold you and carry you. It's an amazing way Jesus looks at us. See, the Pharisees, the religious of the day, and the Sadducees and the scribes, they didn't look at the people that way. They put burdens on people. They put yokes on them, and we'll see that in a few minutes. But Jesus, he says, I'm going to show you how to get them off of you. But I'm also going to identify, because I know this is where we live at. And Jesus says, in 6:25 of Matthew, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What? Now, worry is a weight. And Jesus says, I tell you, guys, ordinary folk, everyday people with families, loved ones, situations, circumstances, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? See, weights don't add. Weights subtract. And he says, and why do you worry about clothes? He says, see how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not labor. They do not spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not worry saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will we wear? For the pagans, those who don't know God, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you need. But guys, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Because each day has enough trouble of its own. I love the way Jesus just got right into the mix with them all. He says, guys, I know these things are important. But don't be fixated with things. Don't be fixated with stuff. Don't be fixated with what you wear, how you wear it, what you have, what you haven't got, what the Joneses have and what you haven't got. He said, don't be fixated on how you look. He wasn't saying it's not important to look good, but he says, don't be fixated on that stuff. Because that will add worries and that will add fears. And he says to them, look, don't worry, because my Father knows you need these things. Your Father knows you need these things, and He will look after you. He says, look at the boards. I've never seen a board going to a counselor. I've never seen a board with a dodgy stomach, with ulcers from worry. Where's that bread coming from? I never seen them sitting on the roof of the flats, having like therapy groups. I know when I was growing up in the flats, the boards had asthma, but that was because of the smog. But they never worried, he says. They don't worry. Because my Father looks after them. I wake up nearly every morning at a certain time, and I hear the birds whistling in the trees out my back. And I always, this is the thought that always comes into my day, into my mind. They're welcoming the day. They're like, another day. That's like whistling for a dog, I know. But anyway, every time I whistle like that, four dogs come out of the bag. But it's like, they're like, wow, another day I'm alive. Another day I'm able to soar. Another day I'm able to go from tree to tree. Another day I'm able to feel the wind against my face. I'm able to feel the breath of the sun on my beak. Because they've no worries. And I love feeding birds and whatever because I'm God's provision to them. And God says, how much more valuable are you? How much more valuable to God are you? So Jesus says, identify that we have needs. When he says, you're more valuable than all these things that we see. And the way my Father looks after them, He will more than look after you because you're made in His image. Worry is fear's extravagance. It extracts interest on trouble even before it's due. Worry constantly drains energy. The energy that God gives us to face every day is problems. Worry comes in and drains us of that. It takes us away from responsibility. Worry is a waste, Jesus was saying. It fills people with anxiety. It makes people lie awake at night. And most of the things we worry about are never ever going to happen. It's true, you know. Other things that we worry about are things of the past that we cannot change. In fact, 8% out of 100 of the things we'd worry about are more likely to happen, not the other 92. And we spend our time worrying and worrying about things that robs us of peace and of joy. And it brings us from full to empty in our heartbeats. Am I correct? Worry sums up the majority of weights that takes us from full to empty. It takes us from full of joy and faith, and it empties us and drains us of faith and hope and future and destiny. It's like a disease when it gets in and it draws us straight to empty. A young man on a campus in America in school, he'd go to every class on crutches. He would be on crutches dragging his feet through this college. He always said hello to people. Always had a good answer. Always had a good smile. He was a young man that came into a personal relationship with Jesus. The other people in the college, some of them noticed. And one of them went up and says, what is wrong with you? What type of disease have you got? He says, I have infantile paralysis. How can you face the world with this disease? And the young man says, oh, this disease doesn't affect my heart. And when Jesus was speaking, he wasn't saying there wasn't problems. He wasn't saying there wasn't weights. But what he was saying was, don't let that disease affect your heart. Don't let it become and cause you to be bitter and angry. Don't let it be something that causes you to lie awake at night and rob you of your sleep and your peace. Don't let it rob you of your marriage and your health. He wasn't saying it wasn't there, but what he was saying was, don't let that disease touch your heart. He wasn't trying to belittle people's worries, belittle people's weights. He says, I know they're legit, but what he was saying, don't let it rob you of your potential. All types of problems, weights, relationship weights, marriage weights, children weights. Where are they going to go to school? Who are they hanging out with? Marriage problems, weighing people down. Does he love me? Does he not? Girlfriend, boyfriend problems. Will he marry me? Will he not? Will I ever get a wife? Weights that drag us down. We worry over them. Unforgiveness, someone mentioned the weights. Condemnation, another weight that robs us. Finances. Is there ever a time when people are being absolutely putting sacks and sacks of weights on people? Any other time other than today? My daughter said a couple of weeks ago, she never heard of the word recession till this year. Another weight, job situations, stuff for living, clothes, food, past things, present things, future things, weights that weigh us down, that brings us to empty. And Jesus says to the people, I'm going to tell you how to get out of this. Seek first the kingdom of God. And what he was trying to do was to change their shift from looking at all the things that was weights upon them. And he was saying, now look to the kingdom. Now look to the way I do things. You talk about financial pressure. Be a giver. As a Christian, I am called to be a giver by the Bible. Make sure you're someone who reads the Bible and studies on what tithes and offering is. You want to not be under financial pressure? Be a giver. Find out what God says, the kingdom. Remember I said seek first the kingdom? He said find out how the kingdom operates financially. God says you give what I ask you to give and I will open the windows of heaven. And not only will you have what you need, but you'll have an abundance so you can give to other people. Seek first the kingdom. I was up in Livy Valley during the day, not a brag about anything that about me. But I was with someone meeting him for lunch, and he was paying, and I was sick, so I wasn't eating anything. And he says, I got away with that one handy now. And there's a woman in front of me with two little kids and her mother. She had two coffees and two muffins. And she gave the girl a card. And she says, yeah, take her out of that. And the girl gives her back a card and says, look, the machine is broke. So the girl was rummaging through her bag and she asked her mother and she says, for money. And none of them had any money. So I says, here, look, I'll pay for your lunch. No way, no way. She draw more attention to it than I did. So I was standing there with a red and I was burning up with a fever. I'm like, Mrs., will you just take the money and get away from me? I want to be a blessing to you. So anyway, she allows me to pay for it. She walks away and I goes away with my pastor. And we're sitting over in the car and I just getting into it, talking away about things, the country and everything. And she comes home and she walks by me. And I had a headache. I was born in with a fever. I just wasn't in the zone. And the girl walks by me and she goes, she says something to me. I thought she said, I'm going to send you some caramel. So I'm now saying to Gary, how in the world is she going to send me caramel? She doesn't know me name. She doesn't know where. How does she know where I live? Like, I was just there bamboozled. Gary said, she didn't say that. She said, I'm going to send you some karma. Now, the Bible doesn't teach karma. It's not in the Bible. And I don't believe in karma. But what I do believe in, if you sow, you reap, because that's in the Bible. What I do believe in is to have a generous spirit, just like my father has that generous spirit. What I do believe in, you give generously, you receive generously. And even if I don't get that back, I don't want that back anyway. But if you have that characteristic, you will not be under stress financially. Because you know what? You'll know. You'll know that he who looks after the birds of the air. I won't only get two caramels back. Caramel. Anyway. Job situation. Look to the kingdom. Pass. Look to the kingdom. Your present. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. And what did he say? All of these things that you need will be added onto you if you seek first the kingdom. I want to go through my notes a bit quicker. Because that wasn't in it. Amen. Jesus says, fix your eyes upon the kingdom. Seek first him, and everything else you need will be added on. Scriptures say it all over the place. It says in the Psalms, I lift my eyes up to the mountain from where my strength comes from. Hebrew says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He was saying, get your eyes off the stuff and get them on me. And as you get them on me, you actually get the stuff. But we're so prone to looking at the stuff. And we miss out on Jesus. We miss out on his peace and his joy. We miss out on what the kingdom is about. Mother Teresa. A young man went over to stay 3 months with her. Shane Claiborne is his name. He looks over at a young evangelical guy from America. And he looks at her feet and her feet are deformed. And he thinks that Mother Teresa actually has leprosy. So he asked one of the other nuns, has Mother Teresa got leprosy? And she says, no. Mother Teresa, he said, for years, these boxes of shoes would come in for the poor. And she'd go through the box. And she would take the worst pair of shoes and wear them. So that the poor could have a good pair. She didn't care about her suffering. You know why? Her eyes was on the kingdom. Her eyes was fixed elsewhere. She didn't care about the uncomfortability of wearing these shoes. Because her eyes was on the kingdom. And we're told the opposite in our society, in our culture, is to look at your stuff, mind your stuff, guard your stuff, protect your stuff. And that's all the world, all the time, we're not looking to the kingdom. And it's all designed to get our eyes off of him who can make a difference. And that's why Jesus said, look at guys, the pagans are running after these things. Those who don't know God. Those who don't know his joy. That's why they're all running on empty. That's why they're all looking for new things, new highs. He says, because they have stuff, but they're empty. They have the world as their oyster, but they're empty. They have power, position, and they're empty. And Jesus says, seek first. Commit to seeking first the kingdom. Don't commit first to changing your life. Commit first to seeking the kingdom. Don't commit to getting your life all your act all together. Don't commit to that first. Don't fall into that trap. Commit to seeking the kingdom first. God, I don't know everything, but just what I do know, I'm giving to you. I'm going to seek your ways. Seek first the kingdom. Give the king of the kingdom your allegiance. I'm going to seek the kingdom. What weights are you prone to pick up? What weights are you carrying now on your back? What weights are you holding on to? What weight is weighing you down? What does seeking first the kingdom look like? Seeking first the kingdom is like reading his word. Putting yourself in the atmosphere of this book will revolutionize your life and your thinking. What does it say about relationships, work, family, parenting? What does the book have to say? What atmosphere are you putting yourself under? You know, birds of a feather flock together. Don't sit with another worrier. Truly, don't sit hours with another worrier where this book will revolutionize your life. Get with one of those people that will melt your brain. Trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus. But they're right. You're in a bad humor, now I want to worry. I'm not going over to Mary because she's going to tell me to trust Jesus. Get with Mary. Mary, if you're here, will you put up your hand? It says this about Jesus. In 1 John 1:14, that Jesus is full of truth and grace. That Jesus is full of truth and grace. He's full. He's full. And we can draw from his fullness. We can draw from his fullness of truth and grace, of truth and grace, of truth and grace. Draw from his fullness. That's what we do when we read the word. We're drawing from the fullness. That's what we do when we talk to Jesus. We're drawing from the fullness. That's what we do when we worship. We're drawing. We're drawing from the fullness of Jesus. That's what we do when we stand with each other. We're drawing. That's what we do when we come to church. That's what we do when we get to link groups. We're drawing from Jesus, who's full of truth and grace. We're drawing from him. We're dropping the well. We're dropping the bucket in the well. And I'm drawing from Jesus. I'm empty. And I need to draw from him who is full of truth and grace. I don't want to draw from another man. I want to draw from Jesus. I don't want to draw from the pastor. I want to draw from him. Drop down the bucket and pull her up. It's full of truth and grace. And again, in Matthew 11, Jesus looks at the people. Let's turn there. There's something I seen there last night that... Oh, yeah, I remember. Matthew 11. Very familiar. So, Jesus, this is all in the same sermon that Jesus gave, by the way. He was just packing her in there. You want to read Matthew, them first 11 chapters? That's how you live as a kingdom person. Read them. Oh, that's how a kingdom person lives, of not to worry, of to commit it to God. Oh, that's how a kingdom person lives, I'm not supposed to be a judgmental person. Oh, that's how a kingdom person lives, and it tells us it's like the constitution of heaven. Let the first be last and the last be first, and all that stuff. Listen to what he says in 11:28. Let's go to 11:25, right? And he says, at that time Jesus said, he looks to heaven, he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Now listen to what Jesus said. Father, I thank you, you own heaven and earth. And he says, and I thank you that you have hidden things from those who think they're wise and learned, but you've revealed them to people that are like little children. So he says, he moves on to chapter verse 28 and says, now I'm going to reveal to you the secret of not carrying worry and weights. Listen to it. Come to me, he says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you will find rest for your souls. He says, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I'm going to reveal to you. Father, I thank you. You hid it from those who think they know everything. Would you reveal it to those who are ready? And he says, now here it is. You have a weight. He says, come to me. Jesus says, no, come to me. He doesn't say how important church is. He doesn't say come to church. And you know, I love God's church. He doesn't say how important leaders is. He doesn't say even come to leaders. He says come to him. Where can you come to Jesus? Anywhere. Any place. Any time. He's always there. Always in earshot. Always ready to answer you. Always ready to respond to you in some mail. Always ready. He says, guys, do you want the revelation of it all? He says, come to him. Come to him. Don't be caught up in law. Don't be caught up in what the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are teaching. He says, come to me. I will tell you. I will show you. Here's a memory verse to learn. Learn this off by heart if you can. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5, write it down. Trust in the Lord. Can you trust him with your weight this morning? Can you trust him in what you're carrying? Can you say, Jesus, oh, I'm going to give it over to you, Lord. Can you say, Jesus, I want you to have this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What he was saying, don't try and make sense of it, because some of it is nonsensical. Some of it, you will not get your head around it. You just have to face it. Why people do things, I don't know. Why things happen in this world, I'm not going to melt my brain trying to get my head around it. But I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. And I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm acknowledging that God is here. I'm acknowledging the kingdom. I'm acknowledging there's another way. I'm acknowledging that God is working behind the scenes that I don't even see. And he will make your path straight. He will. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. It doesn't always look the way I want it to look, but it's better than the way I've ever thought it looked. Because we're going to go into communion in a couple of moments, right? But before we go there, trust in the Lord. I'm 20 years on this journey. I want to tell you, you're sitting in chairs because of people that trusted in God. The building is existing. This is not where we're going to stay, by the way, but it's existing because people trusted in God. There's a young man standing before you that trusted God with his heart, and he's hurting his pains and his insecurities. And he does what he says in his book. There's a young man that carries weights and is prone to pick up weights. But when you know the word comes back to you. And it's like, no, no, cast them upon me. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, he says. He says, like, come on, we do this exchange thing. Do you know, last week in the newspapers and on television and on the radio, there's a whole scenario about Dolphin House and about the way it's been overrun by a certain group of people. Do you know, that's one of the weights that I pick up, because that's my community. This is my community. And I don't know about you with worry and about weights and whatever, but you do dramas in your mind every night. These young men, young boys, at the behest of bigger men and older men, going around wrecking flats, cutting people up. My people. Our people. My family lived there. My mother. You go through these scenarios in your head. What if they do this, and what if they done that, and what if they do this? What if they ran up and kicked in your mom's door now? My sister lives on the bottom. What if you... And you go into this, you play Rambo, don't you? You get the old black things out there. And I'll do this, and they'll say that, and I'll go there, and I'll get him, and I'll get him. And then the word comes to you. Your battle's not against flesh and blood. Your battle's not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. So don't try defeat something that's spiritual with flesh. Because you lose when you're in the flesh. And I determined these sermons over the last couple of weeks. And Monday I decided I was going to do weights bring you to empty. And that all hullabaloo broke out. Then come Thursday, I get a phone, I think it was Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, I get a phone call, my brother's dying in the hospital. My brother's 46 years of age, took heroin when he was 14, he's 46 now, it's 32 years, young life gone, potential, the devil's a robber. Believe me, don't you dare die with your potential. The opportunity you're getting to sit under words like this consistently is opportunities that people I love and you love didn't get as many times. I know they got one of them, believe me, because God is just. And all of a sudden, I'm left with the dilemma. Do I carry this way, or do I give it to God? Does it mean I don't care? No, it doesn't. Of course I care. What's the difference of robbing faith and peace and hope and future? So God's not asking you to do anything. I don't live through weekly or monthly, and neither do you. But all I know is Jesus saying, give me your marriage. Give me your children. Give me your sickness. Give me your brothers. Give me your weights. Give me your family. Give me your job situation. Give me your financial situation. Give it to me. And he promises that he will. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He promises. I don't promise you anything. For 20 years trusting in him, I know it's true by the word and by experience. So we're going to have communion. If Fergus and Kat would come. And I just thought, we normally do communion in the middle. But I just thought it was so apt that we are having communion this morning. At a time when Jesus took all of our sins. And for those who would believe he'd done that for us, he would give us life. So whenever we're doing this, Fergus will lead us and Kat in prayer to change over stuff.
Do the ushers want to give out the elements? If you hold on to the elements until afterwards, and we'll have a time of prayer then. I just wanted to share a story from the Bible. Pray for the bread, and then Fergus will share a verse and pray for the wine. Jesus was crucified during the Feast of Passover, and at that time, the disciples believed he was dead. And the day he was resurrected, he met two of the disciples walking on the road. And I'd just like you to turn to Luke chapter 24. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were not able to recognize who he was. Now, we don't know who the couple were, who these two people are. One of them was called Cleopas. Some scholars think the other person was his wife. They were certainly disciples of Jesus. They were devastated that he'd been crucified, and they didn't understand about the resurrection. Jesus came and walked with them, and they didn't recognize him. One of the other gospels had said he took a different form. For some reason, Jesus didn't want them to recognize him. They were very downcast, and they explained where they were coming from. You know, sometimes as Christians, life happens, and as Noel said, things happen that confuse us, that upset us, that hurt us. We wonder, where's God in it? And that's where they were. Tragedies and sicknesses come to us, and our hopes can be dashed at times. But just down there, verse 25. Jesus walked with them. He explained the scriptures to them. He explained through the prophets that he was meant to die and then be resurrected. He said to them, are you slow of heart that you don't see it? And I read that and I thought, sometimes I can be slow of heart. I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. And it can be just a matter of walking with Jesus, just walking the road with Jesus. If we walk and allow him to talk to us, he will explain the situation to us. He'll reveal what is actually happening to us. Then they came to their destination, and they invited Jesus to come in with them. And when they went in together, during the Passover, the whole week, every night is a Sabbath. So every night the Jews would sit and they'd break bread and take wine together. And as they sat at the table with Jesus, he broke the bread, and it says, the disciples recognized him in the breaking of bread. And if you just picture it, as he held up the bread, they looked at his hands, And they saw the marks of the nails. And then they recognized who he was. And for us today, we can recognize Jesus in his suffering. When we see the scars Jesus suffered, we know he understands our scars. He understands our hearts. He understands how it feels to be left alone, to be betrayed. He identifies with us as we recognize him in his suffering. The Lord's very close here this morning. It was just lovely during the preaching just to know the presence of the Lord here. He's here. He's close by us. He wants to meet with us this morning. He wants to recognize the scars and the hurts in your life as you look at him this morning. Taking the bread won't actually change anything for you. There's nothing special about taking the bread. But if we have faith, we can believe that Jesus meets with us as we take the bread. If you feel you've been betrayed by somebody you trusted, or even feel that God let you down, just give that to him now. Just take the bread now and let your faith be at work in you. Lord, thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that we can recognize you by the scars of your suffering. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would burn within us today as the disciples' heart did that day. We put our trust in you. Fill each heart here, Lord, with your hope and with your healing. Amen.
Just before we take the wine, I just wanted to say a few things. First of all, it's such a privilege to be part of a loving community. I just feel that this morning. And, I look at Noel and just see what he shared about his brother. And guys, we just need to be praying for Noel this week. And I look at people like Carl, who in the link group, and I just, I was saying it last week, there's loads of heroes here. Sometimes we look for TV and films. But when I look around here, people I've worked with over the years, there's loads of heroes here. With great, quests, and God has great plans for your life. There's something that I read last year, and when you read something and it kind of says, yes, that's what I needed to hear. And the irony of it is it was said by a Jesuit priest, and I spent 12 years in the Jesuits and never learned anything spiritual, but I read something from a priest, and his name was Saint Ignatius Loyola, and he said that sin, our sin, is our unwillingness to trust that what God wants is our deepest happiness. And any time you get away from the idea that God wants your deepest happiness right now, wants the very best for you this moment, you're moving into a place of sin. God wants your ultimate happiness. There is nothing punitive about the love of God. But our happiness can be disturbed by, self-worth issues, self-esteem, when we're constantly questioning who we are, when we have relationship problems, when we have personal problems, and this day and age when we have financial problems, work situation, etc., is dire for a lot of people in these ages. And we do question that God wants our deepest happiness in those moments. And I think for me, and I've suffered it from all my life, is that when I look at my lack and I start to look at other people's success, his success, her, wonderful success, whatever it is, I get my eyes off God. And we sang it this morning. It's all about Jesus. But, from Jesus' perspective, it's all about us. He died for us. He gave everything for us. And when he died, he didn't just look at the world. He looked into your face before you were born and said, I'm dying for Jason, I'm dying for Lisa, I'm dying for Noel. Whatever you face today, if there's failure, conflict, trouble, trauma, a lot of us experience trauma, desperation, you can come to Jesus today and be cleansed. In repentance, true repentance, we find forgiveness. In obedience, we find life. When we repent, Jesus keeps absolutely no records of our past. You can come to Jesus now, just before we take the blood in a moment, and just believe. God does not look back over your 20, 30 years of whatever. God is very immediate in the way he views us. And as soon as we claim the blood of Jesus over our lives and accept what the blood does for us, we have a completely and utterly clean slate. And times we go rummaging in the wastebaskets looking for our sins, and God's saying, what are you doing? That's done with. That's finished. My son has dealt with that. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrong. God is love. Jesus is love. God and Jesus keep no record of wrong. It also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way out. He is the truth and the life. Jesus wants our deepest happiness this morning. And, you know, he is looking to you now. The way for you is open through the blood. So just take the wine now, please, as I pray. And maybe the worship team would just come back up. Thank you. Father, I just thank you that you're a great God. And you're able to utterly save us. You're able to save us to the utmost. There is nothing that is hidden from you, Lord. Nothing that you haven't seen. Nothing that turns your face away from us. But, Lord, we do acknowledge at one point you turned your face away from your son as he bled on the cross and he shed it for us, so that you would never turn your face away from us, that you would never turn your back on us. And I thank you, Lord, this morning. There's no sin, Lord, no trouble, no trauma, no conflict, no broken relationships, Father, that can separate us from you, Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Fergus. Let's stand. We're going to end with a song that Rob's going to lead us in, but, you know, to give us that opportunity of giving things over to God. The Lord acknowledges where we're at today. He acknowledges. Can we just leave those cups? Don't just leave them. Don't mind cups. He sees when that little baby cried. It was a little sorrowful cry, wasn't it? It wasn't a strop. It wasn't like, I want my own way cry. It was, I need Ma's attention. Or I need my daddy's attention. And I just felt the Lord just whisper into my spirit, and he wants to just say to people that he's heard your cry. He has heard your cry. That your cry has not gone on deaf ears. He's heard your cry in the night when you've lay in your own, in your bed. When you're really, really, really real. There's no one to impress or no one to slag you. I just felt the Lord say, I heard your cry, I hear your cry. He's heard your prayer for your loved ones, for your family, for your circumstance. He's heard you. And my encouragement to you is trust him. Trust him with all your tears, with all your pain, with all your worries. And listen to him maybe whisper back to you, do not worry. You're more valuable to me than this whole earth. You're more valuable to me than the animals and the trees, the fields. You're more valuable. Isaiah encourages, he says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll go from empty to full, or at least be on the way to full. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up in wings like an eagle. See, eagles can never fly when there's weights on their feet. But the Bible says, trust them and wait on them. And you will find your strength again. You will find your hope again. You will find your peace again. You will find your joy again. You will draw from him who knows no lack. You will draw from him who knows no lack. You will draw from him in his fullness. And maybe today, if you make a fist out of your hand, let that represent whatever it represents in as weight or weight to you. And as we sing these songs, because you know what, guys, some weights are not easy to let go, are they? Some weights are just not that easy to let go. But when we know we're letting it go into someone's hands that we can trust, when we are letting it go into someone's hands who can make things well or turn things for the good, when we are letting it go into someone who cares for people, believe me, even more than we care for people, then I think we could let it go a bit easier. And I pray that as we let it go, that a lightness would come into your mind and into your heart and into your spirit. That the peace of God that surpasses understanding, that we're not leaning on our own, will guard your mind and your heart. And you know, my friend, you might have to let it go again tomorrow. You might have to let it go on Tuesday again. But keep letting it go. Keep giving it to Jesus. And saying, Lord, I need an exchange. Your yoke is easy and light. And here's my weight. Because, Lord, I don't want to be bogged down, hamstrung with weights and not fulfill my potential. I don't want to be hamstrung, Lord God, on empty. But I could be reaching out to doing something that you have for me in the kingdom. So as we sing this song, let it go. For everything that's within you, just Lord, I'm being as honest as I can right now. I let it go. Lord, you know my heart, Lord, but right now I'm letting it go. Jesus walked through these aisles, lifting, releasing, speaking, whispering, shouting, healing, delivering, bringing the answers, bringing your peace, bringing your hope, bringing your joy, bringing sense of future. Whispering to ears, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry.